Welcome to Crime Stories of Pakistan. I'm your host, Jahan. Today, we're going to embark on a haunting journey in Kasur, where a father dives deep into the darkest corners within him. In the serene village of Panju, nestled in the Kasur district of Punjab, Pakistan, resided what appeared to be a happy family headed by Muhammad Azim. The air resonated with the joyful sounds of children playing and birds chirping, painting a picture of rural tranquility. However, hidden beneath this facade of harmony, a turmoil brewed, destined to disrupt the lives of Azim's family forever. It all began on a fateful evening in October 2023. So yeah, it's a very recent case. When Azim reported the disappearance of his four youngest children to the authorities, Ghulam Sabir, aged 12, Samia, aged 9, Nabiha, aged 5, and Aisha, aged 2, had ventured out to a nearby shop but never returned home. Despite frantic searches by Azim and his neighbors, the children remained missing. Azim feared his children might have been abducted by unidentified suspects. As the investigators probed deeper, inconsistencies emerged in Azim's statements. Quote, "We knew something wasn't right. A father's desperation should ring true. But his demeanor seemed rehearsed. His grief, hollow." Unquote. Upon closer examination of Azim, he eventually cracked. In a chilling admission, Azim disclosed that his children, in fact, had not been abducted. Azim had woken up on that fateful Sunday morning and he summoned his four youngest children with the promise of a morning outing for breakfast in a nearby village. Quote, "As we reached the banks of the Lalyani Canal, I stopped my motorcycle. The surroundings were quiet with no one in sight. Seizing the moment, I gathered my children for what they thought would be a harmless family selfie. Then I pushed them one by one into the murky depths of the canal. I watched them vanish beneath the waves before making my way back home." Unquote. And just so you all know, the Lalyani Canal is a water channel located in the region of Punjab. It serves primarily for irrigation purposes, facilitating the distribution of water for agricultural activities. Additionally, it has become a very popular spot for recreational activities. So coming back to the case, in short, Azim admitted to deliberately drowning his four children. Lahore Operations DIG Ali Nasir Rizvi addressed the media, shedding light on Azim's psychological state. Quote, "He had no prior medical history indicating mental illness. Azim was of sound mind and senses when he committed this horrific act." Unquote. So what was his motivation? Are you ready to hear why he did what he did? Azim's actions were motivated by shame and resentment over the birth of another daughter. He expressed, quote, I couldn't bear the shame, the burden of another daughter. I had to end it, to erase the evidence of my failure. Unquote. Wow. Talk about unchecked rage and toxic gender bias. And it gets worse. For Fatma, Azim's wife and the mother of the slain children, this horrifying truth shattered her world, leaving her numb with grief, betrayal, and perhaps guilt. But we will touch upon that in a bit. Her children, once the light of her life, now lay beneath the murky depths of the canal, their innocent laughter silenced forever. Moreover, neighbors and community members who knew the family struggled with the incomprehensible horror unfolding. A neighbor confessed, quote, "We never suspected a thing. They seemed like such a happy family, always laughing and playing together. How could a father do such a thing to his own flesh and blood?" Unquote. However, among the overwhelming shock and grief, even darker truths came to light. DIG Ali Nasir Rizvi, accompanied by DIG Investigations Imran Kishwar, addressed the media, revealing that Azim's act wasn't simply an outpour of frustration, but rather a calculated attempt to conceal his involvement in morally degraded acts. Major, major trigger warning. Allegations surfaced that Azim had committed acts of sexual abuse against his daughters. Yes, you heard that right. Azim had sexually abused his own blood. And remember when I mentioned that Fatma, his wife, perhaps was feeling guilt? So what was as disturbing as this allegation about Azim was the fact that Fatma was aware of this abuse and had been for the past 6 months. But despite her knowledge, she remained silent. Obviously, questions swirled around Fatma's silence. Why did she not take action to protect her children? Why did she allow their suffering to continue? Fatma's lack of decisive action leaves me repulsed and extremely infuriated. Look, I can understand how profoundly difficult it is to grasp the notion that a father, a supposed guardian and protector, could commit such acts against his own children. I'm not naive. I know it does happen more often than we want to admit. And it may be incredibly difficult to comprehend that Fatma was aware of his actions, and this awareness was for a prolonged period. So it just raises troubling questions about her response, or lack thereof, of protecting her children from harm. The disturbing complicity of the mother, who opted to stay silent despite being aware of the abuse, leaves me utterly baffled. So when your father and mother have both failed you, who do you turn to? During my research, it became evident that, unfortunately, Samia, age 9, bore the worst of Azim's abuse, while her pathetic excuse of a mother chose silence. Samia confided in relatives outside her immediate family, and we don't know how they responded. That she spoke up, that kind of courage is incredible. So we don't know the exact reason for Azim's decision to drown his children. I mean, maybe it's possible that Samia's courage in speaking out unsettled him. Maybe her allegations gained traction among relatives, which sparked fear in Azim's mind. It's possible that Azim's attempts to dismiss Samia's accusations could have intensified her resolve to expose the truth. And as Samia persisted in raising her voice about her father's abuse, Azim may have felt increasingly cornered fearing the unraveling of his facade of innocence. So in a desperate bid to silence Samia and quash any further scrutiny, Azim made the decision to end her life, hoping to bury his crimes along with her in the depths of the canal. Moreover, Azim's sinister calculations might have extended to his other daughters, who were too young to comprehend or articulate their experiences of abuse. Recognizing that Samia's outspokenness could potentially inspire her younger sisters to speak out in the future, Azim may have perceived eliminating all potential witnesses as his sole means of avoiding exposure. I mean, faced with the prospect of multiple daughters accusing him, how can you escape that? He could probably call Samia a liar, or say she's exaggerating, or say she's acting out. But when all three daughters accuse him, then people will start thinking it's fishy, right? There's something there. So Azim's twisted logic dictated that eradicating all evidence of his crimes was his only solution. In his perverted perspective, the sacrifice of innocent lives appeared to be a small price to pay in order to preserve his illusion of control and evade accountability for his monstrous actions. It's a gut-wrenching testament to the depths of depravity to which individuals will sink to protect their own interests, regardless of the human cost. And again, these are just speculations. But when I was researching this case, another thing that I started questioning was, okay, why would then Azim choose to harm his son, Ghulam Sabir? So out of six children, Azim had only two sons. And given his belief, which I'm ashamed to say that sadly, it's shared by a majority of the Pakistani society. But his belief that daughters are considered shameful while having a son is seen as a source of pride. So with this messed up belief, why would Azim harm his son? The very symbol of what he considered success. Pride. Again, I'm just speculating. Perhaps Samia confided in Sabir about their father's abuse, which might have motivated him to protect his sisters and confront his father. Or if Sabir directly witnessed the abuse, he might have been driven by a compelling need to protect his siblings, even if it meant defying his father's authority, which is a very rare act considering the societal norms that dictate unquestioning obedience to the head of the household, aka Azim. Maybe Azim viewed Sabir as a threat to his authority and sought to eliminate him to maintain control over his family dynamic. I mean, honestly, given Azim's exploitation of his own daughters, I think it's even possible that maybe the abuse didn't start with Samia. Could Sabir have also been subjected to some form of abuse before Samia's birth? But I just have to say that this disturbing manifestation of selfishness and cruelty underscores the appalling depth of Azim's wickedness and the tragic outcomes of pervasive toxic masculinity within society. And I can't help but think that as we confront the horror of this case, the notion of Azim's newborn daughter narrowly spared from her sibling's fate by sheer luck because she was too young, it fills me with an overwhelming sense of apprehension. If circumstances had been different, would she too have become a victim of her father's monstrous deeds? I don't know. So since this was a case about children, investigations happened really quickly. In the same month of October 2023, rescue officials found the lifeless bodies of Sabir, age 12, Samia, age 9, and Aisha, age 2. And despite searching for 4 days, the body of 5-year-old Nabiha remained missing. On October 18th, 2023, as Azeem was being escorted by the police to the Laliani Canal where he killed his children, two of Azeem's accomplices opened fire at the police, and this led to a crossfire. And Azeem was killed in that crossfire. Azeem's death leaves behind a haunting trail of unanswered questions, coupled with the bitter truth that he evaded his trial and escaped the grasp of justice. The chilling narrative of the Laliani Canal murders unveils a distressing reality entrenched within Pakistani society, where the birth of daughters is often met with shame and disdain. Shockingly, Pakistan has one of the highest rates of gender-based discrimination in the world, with approximately 200 million people grappling with entrenched patriarchal norms and deep-seated gender biases. Tragically, these societal attitudes massively contribute to female infanticide, where newborn girls are callously discarded or even buried alive due to the perceived burden or shame or disgust that they bring to their families. Such barbaric practices underscore the urgent need for cultural reform and gender-sensitive education initiatives that challenge ingrained prejudices and teach people to treat everyone equal, regardless of gender. And compounding this tragedy is the widespread issue of child abuse in Pakistan, with reports suggesting that up to 90% of children in the country have experienced some form of violence or abuse. And despite growing awareness, unfortunately, prosecution rates for those who commit child abuse remain extremely low. Countless children continue to suffer in silence in Pakistan. As a society, we must come together to demand justice for the victims of child abuse and gender-based violence, advocating for harsher penalties and systematic reforms to safeguard the rights and well-being of our most vulnerable citizens. As we reflect on the tragic events that unfolded along the banks of the Laliani Canal, it's essential to remember the precious lives lost. Ghulam Sabir, age 12. Samia, age 9. Nabiha, age 5. And Aisha, age 2. Their untimely deaths serve as a reminder of the urgent need to prioritize the safety and well-being of every child. May their memory fuel our determination to build a society where innocence is cherished and where every child can grow and thrive free from fear and harm. Thank you for joining Crime Stories of Pakistan. Share your case suggestions in the comments or email us at crimestoriesofpakistan@hotmail.com. If our episodes and mini-sodes shed some light into the people of Pakistan and its society, then we're one step closer in achieving why we started this podcast to begin with. Please leave a review, a rating, and share those episodes that you know need to be voiced and heard by all. Until our next episode, be vigilant, avoid trouble, but keep your curiosity alive by tuning into Crime Stories of Pakistan with your host, Jehan Anas. Bye.